And now, sports and other stuff. The Closers. Join the talk now. 800-229-5378. News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
A home run for Kane. KC is on the board. Whit Merrifield has gone deep. That ball is gone! Jorge Bonifacio, gone! A home run by Mike Moustakas.
They all gave up home runs, and we haven't seen that. But, I mean, it's going to happen from time to time.
Here comes Gretschek. He may score!
Anything can happen here. We're really excited for this challenge.
We didn't score tonight. The puck didn't go in the net.
Drive to the balcony, lays it up on it. He now has 42.
And I wasn't coming out. I knew how much we needed this game and how much my teammates needed me.
You know, we should be a lot better in game five.
Touch 'em all time for Charlie Blackman. Off a commercial sign, second deck in right.
Hey, welcome back. It's hour number two of the Closers here for a lovely Wednesday afternoon. Thanks to our little opening montage. Yes, the Royals Radio Network. They played Yard yesterday at Yankee Stadium, Fox Sports Midwest, Sportsnet LA. You also heard from Joe Girardi in there. You heard from Mike Sullivan, Mark Mathot, Kyrie Irving, and Bron Bron. And then you also got to listen to a play-by-play guy talking about hitting a billboard, but knowing that he's on the road and not at home. So you don't get to find out the name of the billboard that was hit last night with a home run in the Colorado Rockies contest. Joining us now from Rock Am Nation and the SB Family of Nations, Mr. Bill Connolly. How are you, sir?
I'm not too bad. How are you?
We're doing all right. We're doing quite well. It's been an interesting week of stuff going on around the University of Missouri. And let's start with the team that is they played their way in, sort of, one of 13 teams in and one of five teams to exit after the first round of softball. But, man, 28 losses and 0-2 in regional play for the first time ever under head coach Aaron Earlywine. The broad question here, Bill Connolly from Rock Am Nation, what next?
Well, I mean, now you got to prove that this was just weird. You know, everything about the last year in softball has been weird for Mizzou, and so now you just move on. I mean, you could, you know, Mike Krzyzewski loses all the time early in the tournament, and they come back the next year. Occasionally they do a lot worse than that. So, I mean, it happens. It happens to everybody. It can just be a one-off thing, but now they have a lot of questions to answer. They got to go about methodically answering those questions. Pitching first, that was obviously a question mark headed into the season. It's a question mark at the end. The only person who really kind of came through for you is gone. So, yeah, I mean, that you figure that's the best question to start asking right out of the gates.
Well, and he seems to have a decent class coming in. But, again, once you're trying to rebuild on the shoulders of something that's unproven, at least especially in crunch time, and you lose your one key person this year that you thought that you had in the circle, Shane Baxter, who actually was more of a surprise, because Maddie Norman is the one who actually started out 5-5-2, and then she hit SEC play, and then, whoop, gone.
Yeah, I mean, that's why even good freshmen still look like freshmen sometimes, and so you like having a balance and not having to rely on those freshmen, but that might, we'll see. I mean, obviously there are still options here. It's not like Baxter was the only pitcher on the roster. Norman's here, Baumgartner, et cetera. Now you've got another good freshman coming in. Maybe you find the balance. Maybe just development and everything else just kind of hits and everything's fine, but yeah, that's the first question they have to answer. Getting Amanda Sanchez back should help the offense. The offense was young, lots of interesting pieces, but you got to have pitching, and we'll see.
And head coach Aaron Earlywine's contract expires at the end of the 2018 season, so he's got 1 year left on that one. Where do you see? Because it seems like this is a much different, a much more congenial relationship between Jim Stirk and Aaron Earlywine as opposed to the Bulls in a China shop relationship we had with Rhodes and Aaron.
Right. I mean, he said nothing but good things about his relationship with Stirk, which, I mean, if he's smart, he has a contract coming up next year, so he should probably be effusive in your praise. But it does sound like they've got a good relationship, and you know, Earlywine has a track record of success. Last year was weird, and, you know, obviously there were some incidents that needed to be addressed. Whether they were addressed properly or not is a different story. But if the relationship's good and he gets the support he needs, and you know, the team looks like it's kind of, you know, settled back down again, I don't see why he wouldn't get a contract extension. But you know, if it doesn't happen until next year, I kind of understand that too. And you know, he has a little bit of proving himself to do still to go, I guess.
Bill Connolly, Rock M Nation, SB Family of Nation. You can follow him on Twitter at @SBN_BillC. Here's hour number two. The closer's rolling along. Let's switch over to the other diamond sport, Missouri Tiger baseball. They played a long day's journey into night yesterday and down in Hoover, Alabama, and now 7 games into their next 20-game win streak.
That's right.
What's different about this team as we've watched them go through this 7-game streak as opposed to that roller coaster ride that took place as soon as that SEC season started?
Well, they're hitting, first of all. It's amazing what a difference that makes. I mean, only, you know, in this 7-game win streak, they've scored at least 5-6 times. You know, it's amazing what that can do for you when you're not having to rely on. They did have the 1-2-0 win against Tennessee, but, you know, I think the two things you notice here are that they're at least scoring some runs, not always 12 like yesterday, but they're scoring, and the pitching really has been kind of like that Tennessee series. I know Tennessee is not in very good shape, and that wasn't indicative of like all other SEC teams, but that was a variety of pitchers, not even including Tanner Houck, completely shutting Tennessee down, giving up 2 runs in 3 games. So I think that was good to see, both for this year, obviously. You know, we'll see what happens here, but with LSU and then a second game at least, but you like to – for a tournament setting, you like having depth of pitching more than anything else on the planet, really. And they seem to have that at the moment. And even yesterday, when Houck kind of imploded, they had a reliever who didn't even, you know, wasn't one of the guys from over the weekend to kind of come through. So that's all good. We'll just see if it's too late. That's obviously the question at this point. It's been such a nice run here. The 20-game winning streak was nice, but they really just, you know, it fell apart for a little bit too long. So you figure they still have some work to do here.
Yeah, definitely work to do there in the SEC tournament to try and make the NCAAs. But whether they do or not, as Beazer heads into his first full off season with this Tiger baseball team, how much can he mold? George and I talked about the fact that when you really look at this team, it kind of is a Tim Jameson type team. Great pitching that, you know, for most of the year, not a lot of run support, some mental mistakes along the way. Kind of had all the fingerprints of a Jameson team. How much more can Coach Beazer do in one off season to make it more his team?
Well, you do figure. I mean, this is the best time for kind of making your own culture. First year, you try to get some pieces in, and I mean, he certainly secured some of the commitments from Jameson. He brought in some other guys. He did a really nice job of bringing in as much talent as possible in a short amount of time. But now he has a chance to further install his culture and to further install his recruits. They have barely any seniors whatsoever. Obviously, they'll lose Houck and probably Montes Dioka. Maybe, you know, we'll see about, you know, Trey Harris or somebody like that, where they get drafted as juniors. But for the most part, I mean, almost a good percentage of this team is coming back, including a lot of the pitchers who have been doing well here, Cole Bartlett, et cetera. So obviously TJ Sikkema. So, there's a lot of potential for this team next year. And if he can just, kind of further, you know, tweak the culture here and there and get a few more of his recruits coming in, I mean, it certainly looks like things are set up pretty nicely.
For Missouri baseball right now, as they look to try to, you know, you probably want to win at least one more ball game here in this SEC tournament to get NCAA tournament bound. Let's say you pick up that one more game. It may not be against LSU. You'll end up in that loser's bracket to hopefully pick up that second win. But you get into the NCAA tournament. Does that become, on a global scale, a really good thing? Or if you start to kind of nitpick away the season, you're like, maybe just well, it's all right. It's not fantastic.
Well, yeah, I mean, either way here, we're talking about them coming up either just barely getting in or coming up a game short or so is what we're looking at right now. And, I mean, for a status thing, for a narrative thing, making the tournament would be a very big deal. It's been a while. And, being able to do that in your first year, it just looks good. It feels good for everybody involved. It's a tangible sign of progress. I wouldn't figure it makes that much of an effect on next year's team. Maybe it helps you get an extra recruit or something. I don't know. But, this, we already kind of know where this team's headed next year. the finish of the season doesn't really matter. It would just feel good, and it generates some nice press, and there's nothing wrong with that. I encourage them to do it. I encourage them to just win the SEC. That'd make it even better here. But you know, it's the story's almost totally told. But it's you know, happy endings are just more fun than what ifs and whatnot.
Yes, and this team that is in search of a happy ending right now is Missouri Tiger football. As you look at it, and you got a great piece. If you've not seen it yet, folks, head to Rockham Nation after we're done here. Because early this morning, Bill Connolly posted a spot about Missouri's Tiger 10, Dream is Dying, is good news coming from out of state. The second question most people really don't give two rips about, but is the hand with three commits saying, yeah, we're going to go to Nebraska, like Cameron Brown, Mario Goodrich as well, heading off of there. You know, is the hand over the panic button?
Well, I mean, I try to never get anywhere near the panic button, but, you know, I can understand why there would be a little bit of dismay right now. I mean, the bottom line here is, you know, Missouri, the timing of everything has just been kind of weird, you know, and I'm not even talking about the protests and all that, but, I mean, you the first year on – for a new head coach is the perfect time to kind of sell your vision. Only in-state, really, there was almost nobody to sell it to. It was last year was a pretty tricky, tough class when it comes to just finding in-state seniors. Meanwhile, this season right now, this crop coming up here is seniors in the fall, completely overloaded with talent, and now they saw another four-win Missouri season in Barry Odom's first year. And so, you know, they did a nice job of getting all these guys on campus back in February and you know, selling their vision of this will be the recruiting class that turns Missouri back around. And I think it seemed to have an effect on everybody involved, except that was 3 months ago now. And you can't have, you know, it's kind of hard to arrange for all 10 of them to come again. And now they've been hearing from recruiters for the last 3 months, hey, Missouri's not doing very well right now. I don't think you're going to want to go there. And it just kind of seems to have a cumulative effect. So Missouri needs to get to the fall and win some football games and prove that vision that they were trying to sell is still on track. There's no, you know, two guys now have committed, two of the 10 have committed elsewhere, and a third has eliminated Missouri from consideration. There's nothing saying that any of those guys can't come back into the fold in the fall if Missouri's doing really well. They just need to get to the fall and do really well. Otherwise, they're looking out of state again, which could be fine. I mean, they seem to be attracting some interest from some interesting guys, and they should get some commitments over the summer from some of them, but you know, it would feel like a missed opportunity if you have to go outside of the state when you've got this much talent in it this year.
Looking back, you know, Gary Pinkel was here a long time, but when we instituted the spread and everything else going on, and there were kind of some crux moments in his career. I mean, this is pretty early, but is this a crux moment for Coach Barry Odom and this season, the way recruiting has poised and everything has kind of come together? You know, is this really a focal point for his tenure at Missouri, or his potential future tenure at Missouri?
You know, it's an opportunity, but I'm not going to, you know, I still remember back, I think it was probably 05, after that disappointing 04 season for Pinkel, after his fourth season here. That 05 class, I believe, was one of the worst ranking classes that Gary Pinkel had. But it had Chase Daniel. It had Chase Kaufman. It had a bunch of program changers. And I think the bottom line here is that recruiting is a good chance to buy yourself some margin for error, especially when you've got this many four-star kids 2 hours to the east or west of you, mostly east this year, I guess. But it's not the end of the story. It's the first step. If they go out and attract a bunch of talent elsewhere, maybe it's guys, three-star guys who need to develop a little bit longer. But if they're able to do that and they win games anyway, then this was just a kind of a chapter in the story. It doesn't have to be one of the major, major, major chapters. But it would feel like a missed opportunity. There's no question about that.
Bill Connolly, Rockham Nation, SB Family of Nations. Let's turn over to basketball here real quick as we get ready to exit stage left. You know, Jontay Porter on Monday night announces that he will be a Missouri Tiger. That's not really a terrible surprise. However, he did not say what year. So let's pull him out of the equation for right now. You've got a lot of guys that are on this team right now, including some of the older guard you know, with Kevin Puryear, Jordan Barnett, Jordan Geist, Terrence Phillips, you know, Cullen Van Leer, is just start name dropping all over the joint here. But how do you mix this group? If you had to sit down right now and go, these guys are best fitted in these positions, who's your starting five?
Yeah, this was, I was debating this with a friend the other day. There are so many combinations. I think that's the most exciting part. I mean, this team is going to be relying on freshmen. It's going to be up and down. And this is me saying this, assuming that eventually John Tate Porter does reclassify. But even if he doesn't, there are so many interesting. It's just an interesting team. When you think about, Michael Porter maybe in some lineup playing the two and in some playing the four, and Jontay Porter being able to play the five but step outside and shoot three-pointers occasionally, hopefully not too much, but occasionally. With guys like that, with guys like Puryear and Barnett being able to play a couple of different positions, you could go super long, you can go super small. I think that alone is the most interesting part of this lineup. Jeremiah Tillman sounds basically like he needs to stay on the interior for the most part instead of roaming the perimeter, but otherwise you've got a lot of guys who can be inside and outside, and in theory, if you're up for it, that's just a built-in matchup advantage anytime you're going down the court. So we don't know how they play defense, we don't know how they are cohesive. When you think about, as you were saying, you've got a Phillips, Geis, Barnett, Puryear, Nico lineup of all returnees, and then Harris, Roberts, Porter, Tillman potential lineup as well. Plus, I mean, you can go all new and all old, and you never really know how that's going to blend together. But there's an opportunity here for some massive matchup fun. It should be just a fun year in general.
And don't forget something borrowed as well with Cassius.
That's right.
Yeah, so you play Kentucky, it'd be just like a wedding. Something old, something borrowed, something new, all that.
Kevin Knox is something blue.
You're right.
Boo.
Wow. Yeah, been waiting all afternoon for a contribution, and that's
what you get.
That's what I get.
That's
good
what you get.
Good night, almighty. All right, last question here for you, Bill Connolly, Rock M Nation, SB Family of Nations, from the SB Family. Nice little piece in the top right-hand corner. Missouri built a college basketball contender out of thin air. As simply as you can, how did Missouri build a contender out of just, thin air?
Magic? Well, I mean, by hiring Konzo Martin and then hiring Michael Porter Sr., I mean, that's... You hire a guy known for his recruiting, and then you hire another guy who is tied to two blue chippers. That's the fastest way to get it done. Obviously, this is this contender that they were talking about in that story. That was by Alex Kirshner. Obviously, this is based around the idea of at least one and done here. So we'll see long term how everything plays out. But yeah, they took advantage of a series of breaks. They took full advantage of a series of breaks. And now we get to have some fun again at Mizzou Arena.
Very much so. Also from SB Nation, a lot of talk about a new college football commissioner and a lot of photographs of Bill Connolly holding footballs, nicely dressed. Just remember us when you're famous, okay? Is that can we just get that little bit in there that you'll remember us once you're big and famous?
Oh, I make no promises, but
okay.
If you go to the SB Nation College Football page, you can read about my 9-point plan to fix college football. And we had some fun with that one. The photo shoot was kind of mortifying, really, but we even had a photo shoot.
Yeah, I had to double check the caption to see if that actually was Bill Connolly in well dressed. I was like, wow, my goodness.
I even had pants on, just FYI.
Whoa, this wasn't
a Puma short with the suit top thing. It was a full on suit.
La. Didn't need to know. Although I was in a tux last weekend, so people said that was worth the price of admission. All right, last comment here as we get rolling. Before in the When We Knew Ye, Bill Connolly, Rock M Nation, the book, The 50 Best College Football Teams, with an asterisk, of all time, right? How are we doing there?
Good as far as I know. We tried to make a run a couple weeks ago on Amazon, try to get the social media buzz and get it up to number one, but Tim Tebow fended me off still. That jerk Tebow managed to stay on top, as he will for like the next 5 years probably on the college football list. But it's going well, and the feedback's good, and I'm writing some posts at Football Study Hall just about a little more detail about some of the teams involved, and the reception's been good.
Excellent. That Tim Tebow guy, he's so pompous.
Seriously.
Pompous and arrogant. All right, Bill Connolly, Rock M Nation, SB Family of Nations. Again, folks, follow him at SBN _ Bill C. Bill, thank you for the time, man. I appreciate it. Have a great rest of the day.
Thank you.
You are very welcome. Bill Connolly, we'll be right back. We'll thrash about the rest of hour number two, and we'll do that right after this.
The Closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
Hey, welcome back. Oof. While we were away, LSU found their offense. You all right over there?
Oh, sorry.
Okay, good.
Getting my robot on. Sorry.
Yeah, okay.
Apologize.
That's all right. No worries. It is now 3-1 in favor of LSU. Bottom of the third. TJ Sikkema has worked through 2 1/3 in total of right now a little bit more than 43 pitches as we refresh for today. And it's been a rough inning for TJ. Missouri 1-2-0. They've left two on. LSU 3-5-0. And they've only left one on. They're 3 of 8 with runners in scoring position. Missouri's 0-5. Yeah. And two down as TJ just induced a pop-up for Diekman. But this better find some offense, kids. Otherwise, you're going to be taking on South Carolina tomorrow. And that will be 9:30 a.m. Remember your earlier comment about morning baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Woo! What? I'm sorry, what?
Huh? Lots of coffee.
Yeah, man. Ain't that the truth on that one. But, yeah, bottom of the third right now, there are two down. And TJ trying to work his way out of this. I mean, this has been a very pretty well-pitched game on both accounts. But this inning here, half inning for TJ, has gotten a little loosey-goosey for him. So, NBA last night, Celtics were ahead.
They weren't.
They were ahead by a lot. Then they were ahead by 10. LeBron saddled with 4 fouls and 3 guys standing around that baseball, and it drops into short right field. Well, that would have been a third out. LeBron 4 fouls. Kyrie Irving shows up. And I know I've listened to a lot of the chatter about it today, and it's LeBron.
Yeah?
You don't get that win unless Kyrie Irving has 42 points. You don't get that win unless Kyrie has 12 of 14 points during a run early in the first half by Cleveland to get it back to 10 before the half. Because they were down it by 16. And then he had, 19 points in the second half as well. You don't pick up that win. You actually probably end up getting swept at home if Irving doesn't show up with his 42 points. Now, going forward, the last couple of games have done a couple of different things. I think, one, it's opened up a lot of eyes about how important Isaiah Thomas is or is not to the Boston Celtics. And I know there's all kinds of chatter right now about, should Boston trade Isaiah Thomas? Should they get rid of him? Obviously, he's a guy that the ball sticks to. Well, really? They didn't get to the playoffs with him sitting on the bench.
Right.
You know, the only reason, you win game one because Avery Bradley hits a 3-pointer at the end. And you had a couple of other guys step up and have great games, which you did not get. Marcus Smart being one of them. You did not get those games out of them in game number four. So I don't know if it highlights whether or not Boston should trade Isaiah Thomas or not, but I think it does highlight that Kyrie Irving is a little bit more important to the Cleveland Cavaliers than maybe a lot of people thought. Because it's LeBron James and...
Well, LeBron is the engine of that team,
yeah.
And Kyrie Irving is the gas pedal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when Kyrie goes, that team goes into a weird warp overdrive, and they just blow you out so fast. And the thing that's weird is, like, a lot of times with a point guard, the point guard has to be in concert with someone else. See Chris Paul.
Right.
If Blake and DeAndre aren't playing well, no matter how well Chris Paul plays, he has a hard time taking over a game.
Mm-hmm.
When two of the three of them are playing well, Chris Paul and one of the other two, then the Clippers have that ability. But Kyrie can do it by himself.
He's not very good on defense, but yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah. Okay. I mean, James Harden's in the MVP conversation, right?
Yeah.
Let's not talk about defense individually then.
Because, well, no, because he doesn't want to discuss defense either.
No, of course.
He doesn't want to play it either.
You know, now team defense obviously is a different thing. I mean, Popovich, mm-hmm. Popovich calls the Warriors maybe the greatest defensive team in the NBA.
Right.
Which is scary.
Because they can also shoot the ball too, and make.
Make.
Yeah.
Right.
Shooters and makers.
Right. Man, I can't wait to try that on for size. Phew. Man.
You're so odd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a weird thing.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it's just, you know, it's interesting to me just how well Kyrie can play without necessarily someone else on the team.
Mm-hmm.
Going with him when he stretches out and goes into that mode, even if no one goes with him, the Cavs team still goes. Obviously, when LeBron does it, LeBron picks up the whole team, mm-hmm. and goes. If Kevin Love's having a great night, and LeBron and Kyrie are off watching TV somewhere in their heads, then that team stunk.
Yeah, because he Love cannot carry the team. He's not the same caliber.
Even when he's pulling down 18 rebounds and not nailing threes,
mm-hmm.
he just doesn't make that team go.
No, and that was not the role that he was brought in for.
No, of course.
He was brought in as a guy that could get you rebounds. He was brought in as a guy that, you know, you want 10 or 15 points out of him, but...
He was the Chris Bosh.
Yeah.
He was the...
We'll get to him in a minute.
He was the third guy the big three.
Right. And that's what they're getting out of him.
Right.
Because the one thing about Kevin Love is he also now, and it took him a while to understand it, but he understands what his role is with this team, and he has melded himself into that.
And he's healthy enough to fulfill that role.
Yeah. Yeah. So Cavs, Celtics, it's 3-1. It's going to go back to TD Gardens Thursday night for game number 5. I do not expect
and
this
no
to go
further.
Yeah, that breaks.
Especially with the Cavs watching the Warriors, seeing them wrap it up, knowing that now they're on their they're on their mini Caribbean vacation now, watching the East Finals.
Yeah, knowing that the Warriors are now watching the Cavaliers going.
Well, it's so funny because, I mean, the Warriors sweep and get a huge break.
Mm-hmm.
And literally the Cavs sweep through and get a huge break, and they lose one game. And the Warriors sweep through and don't seem like they've gotten a break, mm-hmm. really, even though they swept through also.
Right.
But now the one game in the East is going to give the Warriors a nice little chunk of time.
It's going to give them 3 extra days.
Yeah.
3 extra days of rest.
And I mean, listen, here's the deal. And while we both just said that series goes no further, it's in Boston.
Hop on a plane. Fly.
You never know.
Yep.
And if the Celtics were able to take one more, then the Warriors should send some fruit baskets to Boston post haste.
Mm-hmm. They probably should be already ordered just in case that way they could arrive there on Thursday night. But again, that's going to be game number 5, Celtics and Cavs. While it seems to, when you look at the scores, have been remarkably easy, and for the first two games it was, the last two games, I think the Warriors are sitting there looking at this Cavaliers team going, oh yeah, we can stop them.
Yeah.
You're a far better defensive team than the Celtics are. They're good, the Celtics are, defensively. But they don't have the offensive firepower to counter that good defense, or to augment, rather, that good defense. Celtics-Cavs, game 5, Thursday night, from Boston.
Mm-hmm.
I'd believe it a lot more in the Celtics if it was held at the old Gadden. If it was at the Boston Gadden, all steamy and humidity and dead spots on the floor.
You'd have to believe in time machines too.
I know that.
Okay, just checking.
Who says I don't?
I'm not, no one.
Okay.
Sounded very accusatory.
No. Not okay. Me.
No?
No.
Sure?
No.
Okay. Oh, you're not sure? Hmm. Okay. Chris Bosch, next.
It's The Closers. Be part of the show now. 800-229-5378. News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
Hey, welcome back. Bottom of the fourth now, and it is a 4-1. LSU is Missouri. Did not do much of anything as they go down 1-2-3 in the top of the fourth. And so now bottom of the fourth, 4-1 LSU. Again, this is the good news for Missouri is at least it's a double elimination portion of the tournament. You got through game number one winning 12-7, but now you're falling, you're trailing in this one 4-1 down there in Hoover, Alabama. Earlier today, down there at Hoover, Kentucky took care of South Carolina 7-2, dumping South Carolina into the loser's bracket. And the loser of this game would face South Carolina coming up here tomorrow morning. Early doors, 09:30 for that one.
Hmm.
Favorite time?
No.
No? Okay.
No, really. Bartenders don't do AM.
You do. It's just usually like 1:30, 1, 1:32.
This is a morning show for me, by the way.
All right. Well, happy to have you along for morning drive. Hope everything is good. The sun's in the wrong direction then.
Cup of Joe with Jay. Deep. And George, we got this. No
blazing
problem.
Through that window this morning, it was. All right, mentioned on the way out, talk Chris Bosch here next. He was a tremendous basketball player, battled not injuries but illness, and then a couple of years ago was diagnosed with blood clots. And it was kind of a scary moment because he had shortness of breath. He had all the markers and diagnosed with blood clots. Sat out the rest of the season. Went to a physician the following year. After going through the blood, they're like, do the blood thinner treatments, 6 months. We'll bring you back. We'll run you through. Still had issues. Sat out the next year. Now, keep in mind, you may or may not, he signed a 4-year, $100 million deal. And with the NBA, it's guaranteed money.
Mm-hmm.
So the Heat are not only paying him $25 million, but that's the salary cap hit as well for the Heat.
Okay.
So you got all that folding in. A lot of animosity in the last about 12, 14 months because the Heat doctors would not clear Bosch to play. Like, no. The next set of blood clots that you throw could kill you.
Mm-hmm.
I want to play. We're not clearing you. You're still under contract. Okay, fine. Then release me. Miami, no. We're not going to release you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, today, both the Players Union, NBA Players Association, and the Miami Heat have come to an agreement on behalf of Chris Bosch to release Bosch from the Miami Heat, the final year of the contract, and move forward. But it brings into stark reality the idea that it doesn't for a lot of these athletes, it doesn't seem to matter, Jay, that your next fill in the blank could kill you. Their response is, hasn't yet.
Let me add him.
I'm going to play.
Yeah.
Let me suit up. And here's the other problem with blood clots is, what do NBA players do 3 times a week? Hop on a plane and fly. Hop on a plane and fly.
Over and over and over again.
Yeah. And you're 6'9". Y'all been on a plane? Imagine yourself. Imagine if you will. 6'9". You don't fit under the seat in front of you.
They're on charters. He's got all the space he wants.
Yeah, he does. But you're flying.
a ton. And if you're prone to blood clots, which now is what the doctors are saying to Chris Bosch, you can't continue this. Well, he's going to be released out of the contract. The final arrangements have not been made, as Bosch and his family, the agents and lawyers and all the rest of the high-dollar people are all reviewing the contract. But the Miami Herald and the South Florida Sun Sentinel have all said that both sides have said, all right, yep, this is agreeable, and out. But for a player's career to come to an end because of this, you think about, I mean, imagine if this happened to LeBron James.
Sure.
Or Steph Curry, he of the weak ankles.
Mm-hmm.
Or if Kobe Bryant had to shut his career down early.
Well, I mean, it's not blood clots, but I mean, you look at guys, Greg Oden,
mm-hmm.
you know, Amari Stoudemire,
mm-hmm.
a lot of guys, Arvydas Sabonis, even though he came over here late, I mean, he was suffering
pretty much
the whole time. Bill Walton, you know, I mean, guys have physical issues that aren't just an injury, not a suffered injury on the court.
Yeah,
but they have conditions.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these are human beings that are not human being sized. They're proportioned like human beings. They do things like we do. They walk around, they breathe, they jump, but they're not human being sized people. They're immense. And their bodies undergo all this rigor. And yeah, it's you know, when stuff like this happens, but their mentality has been so focused
mm-hmm.
on always prevailing, always persevering, always continuing to do what it is they do, it's hard for them to look a doctor in the face and be like, you're the guy who's going to stop me.
Mm-hmm.
If I didn't let Kobe Bryant stop me in the playoffs, some dude in a white coat in a tiny room is not going to tell me I can't play anymore.
Yeah, you're carrying around an MD and a stethoscope.
Yeah.
And you're going to tell me this isn't happening? Well, and part of this whole thing is, well, it's not just the I want to play, and the Heat saying, no, you're not. Well, I want out of my contract. No, we can't let you out of the contract. Has been the two different CBAs that have gone through, and the current CBA has become part of the Chris Bosh. It's kind of the Chris Bosh clause with players dealing with life-threatening situations, that there is now a three-doctor panel that should Chris Bosh, after that he's being released from the Heat, say, I want to play. I don't care what the Heat say. I want to play. Well, part of the new CBA says, fine, you'll appear before a three-doctor panel, one appointed by the team that you want, one appointed by the NBA, one appointed by the team, and yours. And we'll talk about this. Mm-hmm. We'll run you through the physical. We'll give you the tests. And part of those tests in the physical will target the issue that you're working with. And if we come to an agreement that yes or no, then that's the final deal. And that's part of the new CBA, but it's kind of the Chris Bosh clause.
Right.
Because you've seen him with heart issues. You know, you go through the NBA physicals prior to the draft, they'll, you know, it's the meat market, much like what the NFL is. But the same thing goes through far more intensive testing. And there are guys that come out of there finding physical problems that they're like, how the hell did I survive 4 years of college?
Mm-hmm.
Or in some cases, one.
Yeah. I mean, well, Hank Gathers.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you never know. And with that level of athletic rigor, the body gets taxed in ways. And you know, yeah, unless a doctor gets you, go over you with a fine tooth comb, you're never sure.
Yeah. So it's, you wish the best for Chris Bosh, but does he play again? I don't think he does. I don't think a team is going to want to take that on. It's kind of the sword of Damocles hanging over your head.
Yeah.
With Chris Bosh. Because he'd been told, your next set of blood clots that you throw, they could kill you. They could lodge in your heart, and you're done.
Yeah, and that's
the main breaker.
And that's a PR thing for the NBA also.
Yeah.
I mean, I mean, you hate to boil it down to that. You hate that a player's health would come down to a PR issue, but that something like that would be blackballing a player from, you know, air quotes, blackballing a player that, you know, from being re-included in the league. But I mean, how many owners if you're Adam Silver, how many owners are you going to allow to take a risk like that and put him out there on when every game is televised, when every angle, there's 16 cameras in every, well, there's 16 video ready for broadcast cameras plus 1,000, you know, plus 15,000 cell phones at every game. I mean, you can't have a player with the known risk out there 82 times.
Yeah. Well, because then the follow-up question becomes, how could you possibly have let this happen?
Mm-hmm.
You knew, and yet you let this happen. My attorneys will be in touch. Middle five, down in Hoover, Alabama, SEC baseball tournament, and LSU holding a 4-1 lead over Missouri. We'll be right back. We'll wrap it up and send you on your merry little way. We'll do that right after this.
The Closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
It's not literally a cloud.
Nobody cares about the cloud. Unless it's bringing rain. Check out the window.
I don't, it's kind of partly. It's partly sunny.
Partlys. Okay, full of partlys. A world full of partlys. And partly successful Missouri Tiger baseball right now. They are trailing 4-1 and looks to go bigger. Bottom five and LSU with nobody out has runners on second and third against TJ Sikkema, who is on the mound. And Missouri's bullpen has been in action for much of the last couple of innings. And yeah, 68 pitches, 70, oops, just updated, 73 pitches right now through four and a half innings. It's it's been a tough one for TJ. And they're doing what I saw against Kentucky when Missouri hosted Kentucky here, and that was Kentucky later in the game just made TJ just throw pitch after pitch after pitch after pitch, just jack up that pitch count.
Yeah.
Baseball tonight, a little bit from Bronx, Yankee Stadium, the Royals. No, it's a four-game set.
That's true, it is. Just got started.
Yeah. 6:05 is the start time, and
Luis Severino pitching against Hamill.
Severino has thrown a lot of balls in the last two games.
Mm-hmm.
166 pitches over the last 7 1/3 innings, but he's only given up 4 runs.
Okay.
So there's that.
There's that. Well, meanwhile, Eske's only batting 179, so it should be a great matchup.
So the Eske effect is alive and well. That's good. That is what? You don't believe in the Eske effect?
I have numbers that prove that it doesn't work. Okay, go on.
Well, the Eske effect, you never know. They could work out in the Bronx tonight. And in the Cardinals' late game tonight in L.A., it will be Mike Leake going for the St. Louis Cardinals, and they hope to find at least turn a good pitching performance into a win this evening. So thanks to our guests today. I really do appreciate it. To Bill Connolly from Rock Am Nation for spending some time with us. Jay Sparks, thank you, man. Appreciate it. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow on the Thursday edition of The Closers. Until then, as always, please be careful out there.
News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.